Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Beasley switching in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Tonight, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We are pumped because with the announcement of 7 World Cup games coming to Houston, it gets closer and closer. And believe me, it's going to go fast. And you're going to have to get in line for those tickets. FIFA.com. Get in the queue. I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I'm absolutely pumped about the World Cup here and what it can do for the soccer community and everything else.
Oh, it's you people.
All right. 713-780-3776 tonight. The Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 question of the week. What does it mean to you having the World Cup in Houston in 2026? What does it mean to you having the World Cup in Houston in 2026? Now, look, I don't want, you know, we all know how much money and dollars will come to Houston for this. It's off the chains. It's off the charts. That's phenomenal for our city. But don't repeat that. We already know that. We also know we're going to get tremendous global awareness. Don't repeat that. I'm looking for more soccer takes. What it might mean to you and your son. What it might mean to you. It's my 4th World Cup. A World Cup in my hometown. Whatever it is, I want you to relate it to soccer, and I would like you to personalize it. 713-780-3776. So 7 games in Houston. 2026 World Cup announced on Sunday. 5 group games, 2 knockout stage games, basically a match every 3 days, June 14, 17, 20, 23, 26, and then a round of 32 game and a round of 16 match. So there you go. Super exciting. It's a dream, really. And do we really understand what is coming our way in 2026 in Houston? I think a lot of people do. Certainly the passionate soccer people do. But inside the loop, it's going to be soccer everywhere. And you're going to have people descending on Houston from all over the world. And depending on the teams that we get, we're going to get fan bases coming in here and bringing pretty hip culture, right? I mean, imagine if we were to get a Brazilian team in here or the Netherlands or who knows, you know? But along with that will come the cultural. They'll invade the city. We'll be tremendous hosts. Great work by the committee here in Houston. But the people that brought the games and the World Cup to Houston is you, the soccer community, because you don't have a platform to go off unless you have huge soccer passion. So thank you, Houston soccer community. You're all a piece of it. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's start it off here tonight. I think we have Alan. Alan, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn. Doing well tonight. Appreciate you having this going on. You know, really excited for Houston and just in general North America. You know, this is the first time, at least in my lifetime, that a men's World Cup is going to be taking place in North America. And being in a city that's going to host the World Cup is just an extreme privilege. Not a lot of people around the world have that chance. And, you know, having as many knockout games and group stage games, like you mentioned, just seeing so many people from different cultures coming to this city, you know, the most diverse city in the United States, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to go around town and see people from other countries and, you know, ask them, like, if they're here for the tournament and had those type of discussions with 30 people as well.
Great stuff, Alan. I like that, and I like the fact that you're reminding us of what a great connector the global game of soccer is. And for our city, we're going to be great hosts for that. There's no question. And we appreciate that from Alan. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Yes, it's going to be a financial boon for the city. Tremendous. Eyes of the world are going to be on our city. Seven matches. You know, you hear each market, and they've come up with this, and it's kind of a talking point. The seven matches will be like seven Super Bowls, which I think is good, because I think the mainstream media people need to kind of hear that. And then once we found out what teams are going to play in Houston, then you realize that with them coming, there's going to be a great cultural exchange. But there's something deeper that we got to remember and consider here. Is the actual game, the impact, the legacy that the actual game can leave on young players in Houston. These matches are going to create what I believe are indelible memories between people. So a father's going to take a son, a mother's going to take a daughter or a son, whatever it is, whatever family combination you want to come up with. And they're going to go to one of these games. And it's going to be a memorable game. And it's going to be something 20, 30 years from now, maybe longer, that they will reflect on and talk about because they experienced it together. I still talk about the World Cup final that I saw between West Germany and the Netherlands. My father took me. By the way, it wasn't even on TV then. You had to go to Madison Square Garden and watch it on closed circuit television. And that, to me, is one of the defining sort of signature moments in soccer becoming a big piece of my life, an everyday piece of my life. And there are those people in Houston. We got people that soccer is a lifestyle to in Houston. So the impact and legacy that's going to be left, it's going to create incredible memories, whether it's father-son, mother-daughter, father-daughter, mother-and-son, husband-wife, aunts, uncles, it doesn't matter, extended family, friends, stories that are going to live on at the dinner table forever. These games can also, for young people, as they watch them, it releases the dream, and the dream of playing in a World Cup. And you've heard plenty of players that have played in World Cups say that they watched a World Cup game or a player, and that made them dream, and that put the goal out there in front of them, the dream of making a national team. There is a real soccer byproduct to all the money and awareness that's going to come to our city. I don't want us to forget that, and I know we're not going to, but it will be legacy. It will be a reference point for future generations. And I also want to remind those that have brought the World Cup here that it is you. You brought it here, the ticket buyer. Youth, high school, college coaches, players, staff, youth clubs, referees, pros, ex-pros, owners of soccer teams here, like Ted Siegel of the Dynamo, those who maintain the soccer fields and facilities, administrators, those who run leagues, listeners, viewers, readers. So to all of you, that soccer is a lifestyle and a part of your daily life, remember, you brought the World Cup to Houston. Because, listen, you can have committees and all these things, but if you got nothing to sell, And just because you have facilities and infrastructure and we're in the middle of the country and all these other things that sell our city, if we weren't getting people turning out to games and loving this sport from all over the world, the World Cup would not be here. And I mean, this takes us all the way back. All the way back to the first ever soccer game at the Astrodome, Real Madrid and West Ham United, the first ever pro team in Houston, the Houston Stars, to now, where the game flourishes daily on fields throughout Houston. Right now, as I'm talking on this show, Houston soccer fields are packed with people of all ages and both genders. And remember those that came before and pioneered this game that you love. Let's go to the phone lines in Vicente. Vicente, what do you have to say?
Hello, Glenn. I'm a big Soccer Matter fan, and thank you for having me here. I just wanted to say that the World Cup coming to Houston is a dream come true. I mean, as a kid, I just wanted to witness a World Cup game. And, you know, I am from Venezuela, and being able to witness a World Cup game in my second home, which is Houston, which could be the first time that my home country makes it to the World Cup, it's just unbelievable. I am so excited, and I hope that people in the city and in the entire United States just understand how big this is, not only for our country, but also for the rest of the world.
Your country that you are hoping is going to be in the World Cup, you obviously live in the United States now. Where are you from?
I am from Venezuela. I was born and raised in Caracas, Venezuela. I'm a proud Venezuelan. We're going to have Venezuela play in Austin for Copa America in 2024 this year in summer. But in 2026, I see it coming. It's going to be the first time that I'm going to hear my national anthem in a World Cup. And I hope Houston is the scene.
Fantastic, Vicente. Thank you very much for that. The Vino Tinto of Venezuela. That's a great take there. 713-780-3776. By the way, Vicente also mentioned the Copa America, which we're jumping 2 years ahead here. We got the Copa America here. I mean, it's incredible. We've got three games in Houston. We got Mexico, Jamaica to kick it off. This is going to be like a mini World Cup. It's obviously the World Cup of South America. It's being held in the United States because more money can be made here. And there's guest teams like the U.S., obviously. But I mean, we got this summer. You got the MLS product with the Dynamo. You got Gold Cup next year. You got probably some friendlies that are going to include names like maybe Man City and Real Madrid. And who knows who's going to come, because every summer we get that through Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. So it's pretty fantastic. 713-780-3776. But I, again, want to remind those that brought the World Cup here were people that bought tickets. All these passionate coaches at every level of the sport here, every passionate referee, all the pros that are currently here, ex-pros, owners, guys that played on past pro teams from Houston Stars. A lot of these men stayed here. Those who run leagues, those who do a lot of the behind the scenes. 713-780-3776, Jordy. Let's go to Jordy. What do you got on your mind, Jordy?
Hey, Glenn, how are you? Pleasure to be on the show.
Thank you.
I come from a Honduran background. I'm currently 23 years old, right? So my first time watching Honduras in the World Cup was in 2010, because before that they hadn't qualified since 1982. So it was amazing. And they didn't score a goal, but in 2014, you know, that Carlos Costa goal against Ecuador, it meant everything to me, you know, as a Honduran fan. So now that I'm 23, you know, hopefully I'll be able to see my home country at the World Cup. I mean, like, it'll mean everything to me.
You think, looking ahead in your crystal ball, the former Dynamo, Albert Elise, will be on that Honduran team?
I hope so. I hope him and Luis Palma can lead that Honduran team to another World Cup qualification. It won't be easy, but I think that they can get it done. They have a good chance right now that the host nations of U.S., Canada, and Mexico won't be participating. I think that there's no excuse for the Honduran national team to compete for the top spot.
When they come to town and they pack Shell Energy and you see all the blue and white, are you a part of that when they come to town?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I've been to most Gold Cups. I remember my first ever Honduras Gold Cup game was actually in 2011 against Mexico. It was the semifinal, and I remember Chicharito scored on us in extra time. But, yeah, ever since then, every Gold Cup, whenever they come here, I go see them.
Tremendous call, Jordy. Thank you very much for that. And, okay, so there you go. Venezuela, Honduras. U.S. fans, are you out there? 713-780-3776. Because we do know that the U.S. will play their games in Los Angeles and two games in L.A. and then one game up in Seattle. What do we got from Twitch, Guillermo?
On Twitch, we got that this is going to change a whole generation of young footballers. And then as well as one thing is watching it on TV, which is life-changing, but imagine living it in your own backyard. Those are by 442.
Ah, very nice. I love that from 442. That would be 442. How about that? Translation from the host of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. That's good. I like that. Those are two very, very good comments. 713-780-3776. This is Toby Keith, Red Cup. Rest in peace to him, the famous country singer passing away. So, look, U.S. fan, you got to be out there. Mexico fan, 713-780-3776. What does this mean to you? Trouble in Hong Kong. And by the way, Inter Miami, they can't wait to get home. They will tomorrow play against Vissel Kobe of Japan to finish off this tour. And, you know, you've heard me speak about commercialization of soccer. And then you combine that with a team trying to prepare for a season. It's risky. And this has not turned out well for Inter Miami. 713-780-3776. Also, big tomorrow, the African Cup of Nations, Nigeria, South Africa. These are the semifinals, and the Ivory Coast and Congo. Copa America, June 22nd, Mexico, Jamaica. June 24th, Colombia, Paraguay. July 4th, quarterfinal, 1A versus 2B. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is brought to you by the legendary John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. They're personal injury attorneys. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. You want the best. You want the guy also who's putting soccer on your airwaves. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Later on tonight, though, I want to remind you, Rusty Pierce grew up in the Woodlands, went on to play at UNC Greensboro, and then left early to play in Major League Soccer with New England, Real Salt Lake, and the Columbus Crew. Rusty will join me here tonight on the show. We'll take a break now.
Hey, this is a rock and roll museum. You guys don't belong in here.
I'm the king of rock. There is none higher. Fire MCs.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
I was able to attend six games during the 94 World Cup in cities like Dallas and Washington, D.C., and I was also able to attend eight games in 98 in France, and the experience was absolutely awesome. It's incredible when you're pre-game and you come across a group of passionate fans from a country like Brazil or somewhere, and it's just a phenomenal experience. I'm excited about this type of an event coming to Houston.
Mind control. All right, so that was Bill McDonald. He's a legendary high school coach in Texas. He's got over 600 wins. This is the most humble guy on the face of the earth. Played on the Houston Dynamos in the 80s with me. He played. He was an assistant coach for the Houston Hotshots under Trevor Dawkins and then became the interim coach as well. This is the type of person I'm talking about who has devoted a life to soccer in the Houston community. And every day enhances it with his, simply his presence, his working with youth players and high school players. And there's so many of you out there. Maybe you don't have 600 wins, but there's a lot of you out there. But he's chasing the record. All right, so this is Run DMC, Kings of Rock. So we thank Bill McDonald for that one. I want to take you into, there's so much sound here. I want to take you into David Fletcher of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. And, of course, they got a big role in the World Cup being here and the presentation of the games out at Energy Stadium. Here's what David Fletcher said. Now, before we go into the soundbite, I want to tell you, David Fletcher grew up playing soccer for a youth club called the Bay Area Blast in Houston. So this is another guy that's been on fields and spent a lot of time traveling to tournaments. He's doing the same thing, I think, with his children right now. Here's David Fletcher, what it means for the World Cup to come to Houston.
It truly is a historic day for our community, for the sport as a whole. And, you know, personally, as somebody who grew up here in Houston playing soccer at a high level, to think about the opportunities that soccer created for me personally, being able to travel the world, being able to create incredible relationships, I think about the millions of others who have a similar story who, you know, through this announcement last week and the seven matches coming in 2026 to Houston, to NRG Stadium, will be able to be a part of that journey, be, you know, see a culmination, if you will, of all the work that's gone into it. And, you know, I just, you know, again, can't be more proud of everybody involved. But when I think about it personally, there's no other way to describe it but just awesome.
Yeah, there it is. No other way to describe it but awesome. That's David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. We're going to continue throughout the week to take some testimony from a number of people. We'll also have Janice Burke from Harris County Sports Authority, some of her thoughts probably on the Thursday show, as the committee has done excellent work to get the World Cup here. Big one this weekend, and I got to think, to me, this, and again, if you have, by the way, before I get into Premier League, 713-780-3776, before I get into the Premier League, I do want to just remind you about, you want to call in, 713-780-3776, excuse me, I'm just looking for something here, 713-780-3776. I want to remind you, if you've got thoughts on the World Cup coming to Houston, how you personalize it, what it means to you, what it might mean to your family, what you might be doing with a son or a daughter around the World Cup that's coming here in 2026, please call in and let us know. Call in and let us know. 713-780-3776 is the number. Okay, a couple of things here quickly, because we don't often talk as much as we should about the Bundesliga because we have so much content here. Soundbite number 20, Jonathan Tah in the 90th minute for Bayer Leverkusen against Stuttgart. Now, they were down in this game 2-1. This is the quarterfinals of the Pokal, which is a tournament. But they have been undefeated in league play, and they're coached by Xabi Alonso. Here's what it sounded like.
Last minute of normal time. Grimaldo thumps it across. Stuttgart can defend. Wirtz. Oh, room! Goal! Jonathan Tah scores for Leverkusen in the last minute of normal time. Brilliant movement, brilliant delivery from Wirtz to stick it on his head. And as he's done so often in the Bundesliga, he's now done it in the DFB Pokal. Jonathan Tah makes it 3-2 to the home side. And Leverkusen dream again of going all the way to the final.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They're unbeaten in the Bundesliga. No losses. They face Bayern Munich on Saturday, who are 2 points behind. So there's some destination watching on Saturday is the Bundesliga. Leverkusen, coached by Xabi Alonso. Against Bayern Munich, which, by the way, the rumors will float about Alonso and a potential move to Liverpool, now that we know that Jurgen Klopp is moving on. Okay, so let's go to what was just a fantastic watch on the weekend. The Premier League, it's Arsenal. Bukayo Saka making it 1-0 for Arsenal in the 14th minute.
Ødegaard, good ball. Kai Havertz all the way through, and Saka!
So Saka gets things going. This is a tactical masterpiece. Everybody's mentioned that from Arteta. And then Martinelli would make it 2-1 after a big gaffe on the stroke at halftime. So this was a very dominant first half. Martinelli's involved everywhere. Arsenal's up 1-0. And then on the stroke of halftime, they conceded. And it was really kind of a body blow. And you're saying to yourself, okay, this is the lifeline that Liverpool needs to get back into this game. And Liverpool comes out, smoking. 67th minute, though, Martinelli.
Gabriel. And Van Dijk in the end, shielding it. And Martinelli is presented with it. It's a gift of a goal for the Gunners.
So this was a really bizarre play. And this is after Liverpool made some changes. They were kind of carrying the game a little bit here. You know, Arsenal's lamenting the fact that they're in their great times of the first half where they're dominating. They don't take a second goal. Now, before I describe this goal, Arteta, to me, obviously pushed his wingers very, very high, Martinelli being one of them. Havertz would drop into midfield to kind of create a box similar to the box the Houston Dynamo play in, actually. He would drop, and you'd get all the pressure coming from the wingers. It overwhelmed McAllister in midfield. So what you had was center backs having to come out of the middle a lot to deal with Martinelli. This was a weird play because I think initially this should have been headed away by Virgil van Dijk. How often do you see him make mistakes like this and get moved around? He got moved around in this game because of Havertz, and he got pulled out on I think, the Saka goal, if I remember correctly. But Martinelli's goal came off a long ball. Van Dijk probably should have headed. Then he went to shield it. The goalkeeper coming out. And what many people didn't clue in on, which was hard not to because you saw it, Martinelli nudges and physically nudges without being overly dramatic and getting called for a foul, slyly nudges Van Dijk. And Van Dijk now is overcommitted towards the ball with the goalkeeper, Alisson, coming off his line. And Alisson's sort of path to clear the ball gets altered because of Van Dijk. Goes behind everybody, and it's walked in. I mean, you talk about timeliness of a goal. That was needed, and it was a mistake. So the two very, very big mistakes in this game, one right there with Martinelli making it 2-1 in the 67th, and then one prior to that for Liverpool that tied it up. By the way, Liverpool had one shot on goal. Trossard then sealed the win in full time. Again, great substitution, bringing him on. The edge is off the game. He's a dribbler. He's explosive. And Trossard seals the win. Here's what it sounded like.
Trossard giving Elliott the slip. No real target for him. And Trossard has to go alone. Catches out Alisson.
Well, they had to win this. If they have designs on winning the Premier League, this was a must win. They got it. Here's Arteta on the title race.
Well, we are there, that's for sure. And we want to continue to be there. And I think we've been really consistent the whole season. If not, you're not where we are today. Our game is game by game. Again, the availability of the squad is going to be crucial. And we have learned that from last season. So let's try to make that happen.
Arteta on another weapon for the Gunners.
Control is not really a word that I like. I like dominance and don't allow teams to breathe more than control, and especially in which part of the pitch that happens. That's the most important thing, in my opinion. But we can be very chaotic in open space. We can create a lot of issues playing in different ways, and that's another weapon that we have.
Yeah, and with Trent Alexander-Arnold really pushing forward on the right-hand side, I mean, Martinelli was just getting force-fed the ball down the left, and it was a lot of hard work to defend him in this game. He was buzzing around. He was everywhere and was exceptional. Jorginho in midfield, another one that you have to give big, big marks to here. Silently does an excellent job in this game. So 3-1 for Arsenal. This is a big one. It's one that, quite frankly, they had to have. They got it, and it's setting up a great race. But what we must remember, Kevin De Bruyne is healthy, Erling Haaland is back in the lineup, and everybody's picking Man City to win the title again. It's hard to bet against them. Here's Phil Foden hat-trick against Brentford, and they come back from being down 1-0 at Brentford to win 3-1 in scary fashion.
Last minute of the first half. De Bruyne will pin it, stop for Foden, and they've got the equaliser. Those extra few seconds grasped by Manchester City and Phil Foden in particular. Got Mark Men as well. Space never scored a goal. In by De Bruyne. Oh, and there's another Phil Foden effort. He looks across to see whether he's onside or not. The flag has stayed down either side of half-time. Fantastic Foden. Haaland. Here's Foden. Here's the hat trick. What a night for one of the most talented English players of this generation.
That left foot is razor sharp. I mean, one of the most talented players of this generation, maybe the most talented. So he gets a hat trick. And the way these goals are scored, they come in a variety of different ways from different areas of the field. He's got a free role in this game. I mean, you can say, well, he played multiple positions. Yeah, that's multiple positions is, what do they call that? It's like a keyword for he's got a free role, right? So he scored the goals in a variety of ways. One was a snapped header. Great stuff. A fun guy to watch play the game, Phil Foden. My God, it's just gorgeous to watch. So we'll see. We got a race. It's on. Does Liverpool and the Jurgen Klopp last part of the season, does this work? Does this propel them to glory to send Klopp off on a white horse? Do the champions, Manchester City, just put the screws to everybody? They are the most focused of all teams. There's no question. Or does the upstart Arsenal continue to rise under Arteta? By the way, let's not forget one thing with the Liverpool-Arsenal game. It was no Mo Salah, okay? And Mo Salah is arguably the best player in the league. So it's a different team when he's on the field. We have to remind ourselves of that. All right, we're going to take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Speaking of Liverpool, they go out to Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get over there. Get in there. See Dave. See Goose. It's a fun place to watch a game. That Liverpool-Arsenal game, it was apparently packed over there. And we've got so many great soccer-watching pubs, but you got to go to Hugh O'Connor sometime. It's really nice inside, super clean, a lot of beer, a lot of whiskey offerings. Maybe you go over there to the comedy club, you catch a drink before or after. It's a great spot, Hugh O'Connor's Pub. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Seeker, as you say, in there, Bolly in there, Singo in there. Bit of movement as well. Overall, of them headed away. Comes to Fofana. Lauda loses the back of the net. And Ivory Coast is surely won it. Extraordinary scenes. They're going with 10 men. Well, Romero. And right at the end, with seconds to go.
Unbelievable story. Omar Diakite scoring in extra time. That was 120+2 to win it for the Ivory Coast over Mali. Ends up 2-1. Now, if you follow this tournament, and it is awesome to follow. It's on BN Sports. It's hard for a lot of people who don't have BN. But if you follow this, it's drama. I mean, it's five-star entertainment. Ivory Coast was horrible in their first three group games. They got into the knockout stages by being the best, I mean the worst, third-place team. As the host country, by the way. Let's not forget that. Then they knock off Senegal. And now they knock off Mali. So they will play tomorrow, Ivory Coast, Congo, Nigeria, South Africa. I highly recommend if you have an opportunity to watch it. It's BN Sports, which I know is not in all cable systems, but it's an incredible watch. Talent everywhere. There's a little off the rails nature to it, which makes it very dramatic and interesting. So looking forward to tomorrow's African Cup of Nations. We welcome you back. That was the Black Crowes. Twice as Hard. And the reason I picked that song was because our next guest on the show is a Houston area product, grew up in the Woodlands, played his youth soccer for Texans, the Texan Soccer Club, then went on to play in college at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, and then three clubs in Major League Soccer, over 100 periods since for the New England Revolution, Columbus, RSL as well. And he is Rusty Pierce, and he joins us now. Rusty, how are you?
Good, Glenn. How are you?
This is a real treat to have you on the show. By the way, so to finish the story, why I picked twice as hard is because you were a very good tackler, and you really relished tackling when you played the game. So that's kind of the hidden secret behind the Black Crowes song.
I figured if I wasn't the most skillful player, right, every team needed kind of one of me on their team, so I figured I should get good at that.
You were very good at that, and you had an excellent MLS career, and we appreciate you coming on the show tonight. By the way, for full disclosure here, Rusty's out at the soccer fields getting ready to coach. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing coaching-wise, because I always love to hear the stories of guys like you giving back to the game.
Yeah, you know, it's been great. So the last 2 years I was coaching my daughter with a club team out here called the Heat. And then so I did that for a couple of years. They're an ECNL group. And the coach, there was an issue with the coach, and the parents asked if I would coach, so I did. And then for the last probably 6 months, I've been coaching my son's team. He plays for a team out here called the called Albion. And so, yeah, it's a great fit. So I love it. Neat. I enjoy it. And just able to give back a little bit.
Yeah, wonderful, Rusty. I love hearing that. And, of course, Rusty Pierce played for the New England Revolution, well over 100 appearances. Real Salt Lake, Columbus Crew, 2006-2007. That was around the time the Dynamo were coming into Houston. Finished up in Wilmington with the Hammerheads. All right, you left college early. How difficult of a choice was that back then? Because you certainly knew you weren't going to get rich.
Agreed. You know, it was interesting because I was offered by Major League Soccer the year before I went. I remember Sunil Gulati, you know, I was at the Olympic Training Center with the under-20s, and Sunil brought me into a room and asked, hey, Major League Soccer wants to offer you a contract, and I turned him down. I said, no, thank you, and I didn't think I was mentally ready for it for whatever reason. And so I went back for a semester of college. Played in the Youth World Championships down in Nigeria in 99, and then obviously left to play professionally. And so to answer your question, was it difficult? It wasn't. It's what I wanted to do. It's kind of like something you've trained for, something you want to do, and you're like, yeah, it's just right. There was no other real option for me, meaning in my mind, I was just ready. So I'd say I knew I wasn't going to get rich doing it, but I knew it's what my passion was. And so I always figured if you did something well enough, the money will come at some point.
Yeah, I love that story. And by the way, you made a lot more money than I did in the 80s playing, so don't feel bad. Rusty Pierce joining us. I love this because this is a Houston connection. And boy, you know, your time period, there was a lot of guys that went into Major League Soccer in your time period, and a lot of excellent players coming out of Houston.
Yeah, and you know, I was drafted by the Revolution out of UNC Greensboro, and on that team was Ahmad Baba and Johnny Torres. And, you know, so it was great, you know, perfect. Perfect to the Houston products, and it was really, really convenient. So you're right, though, a lot of people. And it's interesting because now that I'm back here, you know, I live in Vegas, my son plays on a club team with and my friend Emmanuel Aim, who didn't play in Major League Soccer, but played kind of the league below that. Our sons now play together. So, yeah, you're right. At that time, everybody was coming out of Houston at that time.
Small world. And you know, I think the aim back then also was not only did we want players to get to the highest level from a competitive standpoint, but to absolutely love the game. And then you're hoping as the generations and years turn over that they're going to give back to the game. And, I mean, look, you're working a full-time job. You have a career, but you're also out there coaching your kids. And this is a story that's carried on by a lot of people. But it's phenomenal to see it. It really is. And every one of your coaches in the past who have seen you play professionally and then to then now be given back to the game, I mean, they've got a big, broad smile on their face.
Yeah, thank you. I can't think of a, you know, for me, as you kind of describe my playing style, right, it's a lot about passion, right? Not always the most skillful guy out there, but the passion behind it. And I think, you know, at least here in the Vegas area where I am, I think the area, and maybe this is the way around the country, but I think we need a little bit of that, a little less business mind, a little bit of just passion to the game, the ability to give back. And I think that's missing a little bit, at least in this area. And so it's neat to, I try to instill that a little bit. And I tell these kids, hey, when you're here, there's no, so now it's my, you know, it's my son's team that I'm coaching. there's no teacher here. There's no parents here. There's no agenda here. So when you come here, be free of mind. This is your place to express yourself. We just happen to have a soccer ball at our feet and enjoy the game. So it's kind of a, you know, for an hour and a half, this is an escape for you.
Rusty, I'm inspired. When's practice tomorrow? I'll be there. I'm getting on a flight in the morning.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we'll have you out.
No, I love that. And you know, when you look back at your youth soccer experience playing with the Texans here in Houston, and you look at what's going on with youth now, what comes to mind?
Well, looking at my youth in Texas, in Houston area, man, everybody was good. We had so much competition. And so for me, I look back on it and I think, thank goodness I had the competition. It pushed me. It got me used to competition.
Yeah.
And then when I, because of that platform, right, and you were part of that, Glenn, right? You're my first ODP coach.
This is true.
And part of that being around competition and doing this allowed me to then go into the pros or youth national team to be comfortable in stadiums with tons of people watching. So for me, I was fortunate because I was pushed daily. Houston Texans at that time, my coaches were J.R. Lee and Roy Reese, and, you know, they instilled competition. There was nowhere to hide. You know, go get the ball. Go find the ball. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. So I find that with youth, you know, with my youth soccer there. And if I compare that to what I am now with coaching and being involved here in Vegas, you know, I think a little bit, you know, I think we lack a little bit of that competition. At least here, and I don't know if it's that way around the country, but for here, you know, there's a lot of hey, I don't want to scrimmage this team or do that because hey, somebody may recruit a player or do that instead of just bringing the best players around each other to compete against each other. And so again, I don't know if that's going to, you know, countrywide, nationwide, but for here, I think that what I had in Houston was different than that.
I agree. That was a really special time because it was a little bit smaller. There wasn't clubs with 3,000-4,000 players in it. It was less about the money. You mentioned two great coaches there. In fact, you know, Roy Reese brought the model of the soccer club to Texas along with J.R. Lee. So those were two great names there that you mentioned, your coaches. Of course, I competed against them and work with them in certain areas, especially the ODP stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is very, very different. All right. We're talking to Rusty Pierce, New England Revolution, Real Salt Lake, Columbus Crew, another one of the great prideful Houston products, grew up in the Woodlands. Toughest guy you ever played against in Major League Soccer as a defender having to mark someone?
Man, you know, there's a lot. I'll bring up two people that come to mind immediately. One of them was Josh Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's funny. It's the first person I think of when you ask that question. And, you know, Josh obviously played with our national team, right? I think he got a World Cup in there. And, you know, Josh was so tricky off the ball. He was never, ever stationary, ever. And so for him, off the ball, and then I'll say that, and then I would say just in general, I had the chance to play against Risto Stoichkov a little bit. Ooh. And I know it was at the end of his career. But I'll never forget in the first probably minute and a half or 2 minutes of playing against him when he was with the Chicago Fire, he drug a ball through my legs. And and I put a, you know, kind of a forearm into his chest. And I immediately bent down and I looked at him and I said, what do you want me to do? look how quick you are. What do you want me to do? You know?
Yeah.
But Josh Wolf is one, Risto is one, and I'll give you one other one. And it's a guy who actually lives here in Vegas now, a different kind of player. He never bothered me speed-wise, he never bothered me strength-wise. But in the 18-yard box, Eric Winalda was one of the toughest people that I've marked. It never in open space was he a problem. Never was he. I was never threatened by speed. I was never threatened by anything in particular. But when you got into the 18-yard box, he had these little tricky runs. And he'd watch you, and the moment you turn, he'd dart in front of you. And I was always on edge against him. So, anyway, I'll probably say those three players.
Yeah, those are three really good ones. So, first of all, Josh Wolf, movement and mobility, now the coach of Austin FC. Stoichkov, legendary with Bulgaria. I mean, man, what an opportunity to play against him. And then Eric, and if Eric happens to hear this show, he's going to tell you that he was faster than you're giving him credit for. I say that in jest and fun. But you know, The thing you bring up about Stoichkov is much like Messi and Suarez now, or back when I was playing, it would have been, you know, Neni Kubias or somebody like that who played for Peru in the World Cup, right? The fact that you were on the field with them, it didn't matter that they were 37 years old, right? Or 36. They were still good players. They were still trying to beat you with their brain. And to associate and be out there with them was uplifting. Do you see that factor with Messi and Inter Miami and everything that's going on with those stores?
I do. And, you know, let's compare the two with Risto and obviously Messi. You know, it's the intensity in which they still play, the desire, the passion of it. So even with Risto, even though he wasn't as fast and even though he wasn't anything, I promise you he got just as mad. You know, like he still had that fire in him, right? And obviously I wasn't opposed to that, right? I enjoyed that type of competition a lot. But, yeah, I think that's the passion I was talking about at the youth level. And I would say those guys that come into Major League Soccer, there's a difference. There's a slight difference in mentality and passion. It's life. It's life. They wouldn't dare walk onto a soccer field without bringing everything they have because that's just what they know. It's what they're made of. It's what people identify them as. And they wouldn't dare to do it without doing it fully. Even if the physical attributes aren't quite there, everything else is there. And so, yes, I think that type of mentality, whether it's Messi, whether it's Risto, whether it's, you know, these type of players, I can't, you know, even a Beckham, you know, I mean, look, that passion which they bring, I think just, you know, just completely permeates throughout the league. And so, yes, the more players like that we bring in with that kind of passion, in my opinion, the better.
Yeah, certainly uplifting whether you're playing against them or you're on their team. Rusty, listen, this was great catching up. I really enjoyed it. You were excellent. Thank you so much. By the way, don't ever forget you're one of Houston's proud professional soccer players contributing to the game, and we love shining the light on guys like you that really have helped move the sport forward in our town through certain time periods. So thank you so much for coming on today. It was great catching up.
Yeah, good catching up with you too, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, by the way, I was your best ever ODP coach, right?
Without question. There's not even a second thought.
Hey, great catching up. Thank you, Rusty.
All right, have a good night.
All right, that's Rusty Pierce. So he's going now to coach some kids. Wonderful. I mean, that just warms your heart, that stuff. That's a Houston player from the Woodlands. And, man, what a competitor he was. New England Revolution, Real Salt Lake, Columbus Crew. We're going to do this again on Thursday. We're going to have more fun. We're going to get more testimony about the World Cup coming here. We may go a little more deeper in depth about the Arsenal-Liverpool game. Certainly, we're going to have a review of Nigeria, South Africa, Ivory Coast, and Congo. I got some catch-up on Manchester United that we got to do that we didn't get in tonight. And I need you to keep supporting this show, though. Likes, hits, comments, calls, all this stuff is very, very important. YouTube, Soccer Matters, get over there. Please subscribe. We want to get to 1,000 subscriptions. We need you. All right, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters. The producer extraordinaire, Guillermo Lazo Romero, who killed it here tonight as usual. Until Thursday night at 7 o'clock Central Time, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, this is Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm.